Our text for this evening's devotion is Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Let us pray. God Almighty, by thy Holy Spirit, visit us and bless us through thy word. We now open thy word before us. May you open our hearts to receive it. May thy Spirit teach us, guide us, and cause us to rejoice in the gospel truth that we have before us. Blessed be the name of thy Son and our Savior, and in his name we pray. Amen. Proto-evangelium. First gospel message in the Bible. It is found in Genesis 3:15. Immediately after the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, God visited the fallen parents of ours, Adam and Eve. They were hiding, but the Lord called unto Adam. Please look into verse 9 of Genesis 3. The Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. So God asked him in verse 11, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. Didn't God know what happened when serpent came around? Didn't God know that Adam and Eve ate the fruit that he forbade them from eating? Why did God call unto Adam and ask, Where art thou? Was it because he didn't know what Adam was doing? Didn't he know that Adam was hiding? Being an omniscient God, we all know that God knows everything. He knew where exactly Adam and Eve were hiding. And he knew that they were hiding because they have sinned against him. So what was the intent of calling out to Adam? Where art thou, Adam? Where art thou, Adam? What was the intent? It was a gracious call. It was a call that was intended to bring Adam and Eve to confession of their sins. Gospel, first of all, relates to every man his fallen condition, that he is a sinner. You see, if man doesn't understand that he is a fallen creature, he would not see the need for a Savior. So when God calls a sinner unto repentance, he firstly convicts him of his sin. So by asking Adam where he was, the Lord was actually bringing him to confess before him what he has done. Not because God didn't know where Adam was hiding. Being an omniscient God, as I mentioned a while ago, He knew exactly what happened and why Adam is not found in the garden as he normally would appear before God. Well, in response to God's question, "Where art thou?" Adam replied, "I was afraid when I heard thy voice in the garden. Because I was naked, I hid myself." Of course, all this while Adam was naked. But suddenly he was aware of the shame into which he has fallen, and his eye was open. Not that he was blind before, but his eye is now open even to understand evil. There was something that has gone wrong since the fall. The thinking has changed. It's not anymore absolutely pure. It has corrupted. So the Lord asked him in verse 11, "Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat?" The man said, "The woman whom thou hast given me to be with me, she is the one who gave me of the tree and I did eat." He put the blame on Eve. And when the Lord turned to the woman, she said, "It's the serpent." They did not deny that they didn't sin. They agreed they'd sinned. Nonetheless, they were putting the blame on the other. It is at this point our Lord speaks to them. Now I want you to remember this. At this point of time, you see Eve and Adam being troubled by guilt. God's condescension to come and call them out of the place where they were hiding speaks of His magnanimity, His graciousness, His exceeding, abounding grace toward this fallen couple. He came down to seek them and call them, "Where are you?" They were hiding in fear of God's judgment. Because God did say, the day when they eat of the fruit of the tree of knowledge and evil, they will die. They were afraid. They were not fully knowing of the consequences. But they knew they have sinned and the guilt plagued their heart. So when they heard God walking in the garden, they hid themselves. Although God's punishment hanged over Adam and Eve for their sin, God wanted them to know that His mercy would embrace them and His mercy would bring a way of salvation to them. On God's part, He came down to meet Adam, not just to make them feel guilty, as we would soon see in our Lord's words in Genesis 3:15. He wanted them to know He has also provided a way of salvation through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Here we have a divine declaration concerning man's salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, if you would look at verse 14, which will lead on to our text, verse 15. It is written that the Lord God said unto the serpent, "Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. The Lord first of all turned to the serpent, and he spoke. Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle. Serpent was one of the creatures whom God has created. It appears to us that Satan has possessed him and used this creature to carry out his deception and to bring sin into this world. So God put curse on this creature. Of course, it is also God's words of judgment against Satan, who came through the serpent. Now here we see the Lord cursing. The Lord cursing Satan. You know, dear friends, Satan has no redemption. He has no chance of redemption. He is a cursed being, now and forever. But the Lord turned to Adam and Eve and declares for them a great victory. Nonetheless, the conversation from verse 14 to 15 is still between God and Satan. Of course, he includes Adam and Eve in this conversation. Look at verse 15. The Lord declares, I will put enmity between thee, that Satan. So the Lord is addressing Satan, who was in the form of serpent. I will put enmity between thee, serpent or Satan, and the woman. The Lord here, listen, declares a war. Satan entered God's creation, the beautiful Garden of Eden, in order to turn the creatures whom God has created in his own image against the Almighty. So since he has entered to corrupt the world that God has created, God declares a war. A war that will put God and his people against Satan forever. I will put enmity between thee and the woman. And then he goes on to say, and between thy seed and her seed. Now one may wonder when he reads the first part of verse 15, why did God declare a war between Satan and the woman? One may even wonder why there was no enmity declared between serpent and Adam. The reason is simple and straightforward. I do not want to be too presumptuous, but you look straight into the next phrase, I believe it explains it all. Because there can be no enmity between Satan and mankind if they do not have a Redeemer to come and take the mankind away from Satan's grasp. Now look at the next phrase, and between thy seed and her seed. Her seed. That's a title for our Lord Jesus Christ. Because Jesus was born to Virgin Mary. Jesus was conceived when the Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He came to this world not like any other man. He was miraculously conceived in Mary's womb. And he is identified as her seed to prove that he is the Son of God who took flesh as Holy Spirit overshadowed Mary. And the Holy Child was formed in Mary's womb. Our Lord Jesus came to this world as Virgin's Son. He was not any man's child. Being God's son, he condescended through Virgin Mary. And he is known as her seed, the woman's seed. And that proves the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Without the Lord Jesus Christ, the mankind that is fallen through Adam's sin will always remain as slaves of Satan. But only because of her seed, the woman's children, or mankind like you and me, has any hope. We do know that with the fall of man, or fall of Adam, in Garden of Eden, the whole mankind fell into sin. Listen to these verses that I'm going to read from Apostle Paul's letter to Romans. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. By one man sin entered into the world, and death. So you see, dear friends, Adam's fall through disobedience to God in Garden of Eden make us all slaves to Satan and sin, thus children of death. We have no hope of our own. Adam and Eve were totally lost. They have fallen so deep. So deep that no creature on earth can ever be their savior. Not even angels from heaven can bring salvation to us. By Adam's sin, the whole mankind fell into spiritual death, which will spell the eternal doom. Who will deliver? Who will deliver? Adam, where art thou? Oh, I am full of guilt, O God. I heard thy voice and I am afraid because I am naked. Who told you you are naked? No need to answer. The Lord didn't wait for that answer. In replying, the Lord, he pointed to Eve. Would that save him? By pinpointing Eve is the one who brought the fruit to him. Will he be delivered? No, he already sinned. With him, the whole human race fell into sin. Adam being our federal head, our representative before God, we all fell with him. What great burden on his head. Through the offense of one, as Paul says in Romans 5:15, many be dead. Again, Paul says in verse 19 of Romans 5, by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. What great guilt hanged over Adam. I think his conscience smote him. He was in so much tremble and agony. Eternal hell could be felt in his heart. Eve also followed the example of Adam. She did not quickly repent at that moment. She pointed to Satan. And there the Lord began two things. Declaring the condemnation of Satan, and then he looked as he was talking to the devil, to the first man and the first woman, and declares a gospel message in the face of their enemy. This is a glorious moment, you know. The first gospel message was preached while the one who came to destroy us forever was watching. In the face of the enemy, the Lord of hosts had pressure to declare the great gospel message of our redemption. To tell him at his face, all that you do can never thwart my plan. I have planned it out all even before the foundation of the world. I have prepared their Savior already, and he will come as a woman's, the virgin's seed, her seed. I don't need to stand here and tremble at what you did to my creation. You have tempted them. You have brought them low in sin. But I am still God Almighty. And this is my plan. What great declaration. I will. God Himself takes responsibility. And He says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. You know, God knew Eve will believe in this gospel message. And all who would follow Eve's example of believing will also find this great salvation. So the Lord said, I will put between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. What great glorious message we have. Please look at verse 20 of this chapter. Genesis 3:20. Adam called his wife's name Eve because she was the mother of all living. You know, after all this great declaration by the Lord, here we read that Adam called his wife's name Eve. You see, the name Eve was given by Adam after the fall, not before the fall. It was after the fall the woman was called Eve. And why? It says, because she was the mother of all living. Well, she should be called mother of all dying. Because of the sin Adam committed. Of course, Eve also. The descendants would die if they wouldn't believe in Christ. So she should be called mother of all dying. But Adam rejoiced to see that Eve believed in the gospel message that was preached in Genesis 3:15. So Adam called his wife Eve, mother of all living. She shall live forever, though she sinned against God because she believed in that promise. And that's why the Lord Himself said in verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. What a great glory. What a glorious gospel. What a glorious gospel. You know, dear friends, many of us have sinned for years and years. We hopelessly sinned. When we think about God, we can't even hold our thought upon God because we are so full of sin. You know, Pastor Reverend Kwek Swanyu was preaching in our church camp last week. The Lord used him mightily, and there was one young fellow in my church who had been coming for 2 years, and he told me, Pastor Koshi, I would like to talk to you. The Lord has been ministering to me after hearing all the messages, and I have some things to clarify. And the last night, I spent about 1 hour with this young man, and in the midst of our conversation, he said, you know, Pastor, I've been coming to Gethsemane for almost 1.5 years. Everything that you preach from the Bible, I'm fully agreeable to all of them. I have no dispute with it. And I agree. And I can see that's true. But now and then, there is this voice that come around me and say, why should you believe this? What if this is not true? What if Jesus cannot save? Why should you repent? Just carry on. Then he wants me to tell him why this happens. I said, one reason is you are not saved. He said, no, I believe. I think I believe, he said. I said, all right, I don't want to dispute that if you believe. The other option is that you, other reason could be that you have certain sins in your life which you are not repentant, is what I told you. You have been engaging in certain sins secretly, and these sins cannot allow these truths to remain in your heart. Because if these truths that you hear are exalted, obeyed, then these sins had to be put aside. So since you have decided to put up with these sins, naturally your mind reacts to the truth and want you not to believe it. Could that be true in your life? I asked him. He quickly said, I think so. So, Pastor, actually, I just want you to bring me to this point to ask me whether there is any secret sins. I dare not tell you. So I went a long way to help you to bring me to this point so I can confess my sins and ask the Lord to forgive me. And I need your help. You know, dear friends, when we fall into sin, we don't realize how powerless we become. How powerless to believe even the truth that is so wonderfully declared before us. We know it's truth, but I have no power to believe. That's how powerful sin is. But we thank God for God's gracious condescension. The Lord, in this instance that we have right before us in Genesis 3, comes down to meet this fallen creature of his. Where art thou, Adam? Where are you? Are you hiding because of your guilt? He admits. He points to his wife. She points to the devil. God calls him. God declares his war that spells the destruction of the devil forever. And then he declares his great Redeemer. And that powerful message calls this fallen couple away from the guilt that kept them away from God. Sometimes I humorously say, God created Adam and Eve to keep the trees of the garden. But because they fell into sin, they asked the trees to keep them from God. They were hiding. You know, some of you are supposed to take leadership in certain aspects of your life. You are to lead your family. You are to lead your children. But you shy away from your duties and give it to others because you find yourself incapable of it, simply because of the sins that plague your hearts. My dear friends, God is gracious. In this first Christmas message, in this first gospel message that is preached in Genesis 3:15, the Lord present to us in the face of our enemy a Savior, the woman's seed. And look at that verse again. Look at that clear declaration of our victory at the end of verse 15. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. It there refers to her seed, reference to Jesus Christ. He will bruise thy head. That's a fatal blow. Why did I say it's a fatal blow? Because it's a blow to his head. Satan would bruise the heel of her seed. But that cannot be a deadly blow. Our Lord Jesus resurrected from the grave, victorious, declaring the absolute defeat of Satan. He has conquered sin and death forever on our behalf. That though we would die physical death, we shall never be kept in spiritual deadness. When our Lord Jesus shall return, we shall rise because He is risen. He has conquered sin and death, and thus struck a deadly blow to our chief enemy. Are you afraid of Satan? There is no need if you would believe on the Lord Jesus. Are you afraid of all the demonic beings flying around? There is no need if you would believe in Jesus Christ. Are you afraid of the sins that you have committed and its guilt? There is no need if you would look to Jesus Christ. Her seed, the Son of God, came to take your place. He was born as a man to represent you and me, that our sins He may bear and take away, that He may be our perfect substitute. We need no other Savior. The Son of God became Son of Man to redeem us. What great gospel victory is declared here, my dear friends. I have actually emphasized two aspects. First, this is a declaration of war against Satan. And in the same note, I also said, there in the face of Satan, the Lord declared the gospel message, His covenant of grace through Jesus Christ. It is in Christ we will have redemption. It is through Christ, her seed, that we shall come onto God's side. We shall never again be under bondage of Satan and sin. Those who believe on Christ and stand with Him by faith and obedience shall always have victory. And we shall move from glory to glory until we shall be finally glorified and be in His presence forever. If you choose to live without Christ, I repeat, if you choose to live without Christ, you are on the side of Satan. He is a deceiver. He is a liar. He is a murderer from the beginning, as Jesus said. And He is the destroyer of your soul by your own strength, and even by everything that you would do according to your mind, you only get yourself entangled more and more. Like this poor couple in the Garden of Eden tried to do to cover up the guilt, you will be always trying to cover your guilt and never be able to come out of it. You can chop down all the trees of the world and find all the animals that you can get and make a sacrifice by all these things. Still, your sin shall not be cleansed. You can find the thickest jungle in the world and find the darkest cave in the midst of that jungle and hide, so that you may hide from the coming wrath of God. You shall never escape. Your salvation and my salvation is in the gift of Jesus Christ, our Savior. The Son of God, who is born into this world as the seed of Virgin Mary. He shall declare you, my dear friend, free now and forever from the wrath of God. Trust Him. Dear sister, trust Him like Eve did and be saved. So that those around you can call you, here is a woman who liveth forever because she believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear brother, may you be like Adam. I believe he also believed. That's why he was so happy in the fact that Eve believed and called her Eve, mother of living. Rejoice in the salvation that has been trusted upon by all the rest who are here. If you are not a believed person, if you are not a believer, if you have not believed the Lord Jesus Christ, if you are still lingering in sin, wondering why should I believe or not, let this night be the night that you would say, I'm a sinner just like the rest. If they all have found life through Jesus Christ, if they all have found redemption from the guilt into which they have fallen, why should I wait anymore? I must rejoice and be in the company of the saved who will be with Christ forever than being doomed in hell with Satan. Make your decision today. If the grace of God is at work in your heart today, if God's voice has come down through this scripture portion that we read, if He is bidding you right now, come out of hiding. Enough of hypocrisy. Enough of pretension that you are okay. Come to Jesus. He is a wonderful Savior. The Son of God came knowing that He will be bruised by Satan. He was not afraid to walk to the Calvary. He was not afraid to take up the cross. He was not afraid to give His life. He voluntarily gave Himself to die. Man did not take Him because man was more powerful than Him. Satan did not enter Judas to betray Him, that he may be killed, because Satan is more powerful than Christ. No, 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 no. Yes, Satan did his part, man did his part. But in all this, our Lord God Almighty was sovereign. He can never be defeated. Jesus hung on the cross, not because He was powerless. He hung on the cross not because the three nails were more powerful than Him. He could have melted them away within a split of a second. All the soldiers would have fallen dead if that was His intention and purpose. But it was His love for me and you. It was the love of the great Savior that made Him a sacrifice on the cross. If anyone would turn to this God of grace, mercy and love, who promised us the virgin son, her seed, and look to Him with one glance of faith, he will be saved. May I remind you, immediately after the fall, God declared this gospel message. He never forgot that message. He again appeared to declare His truth in many different ways, particularly through the prophets. Through Isaiah, the Lord reiterated this gospel message. In Isaiah 7:14, God has prophesied, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call His name Emmanuel, God with us. In fulfillment of this, we read in Matthew chapter 1, Jesus was born. Now, dear friends, 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ, who was born into this world and died and resurrected and then ascended, fulfilled Genesis 3:15. Since then, thousands and thousands, a countless number, from all race, from all languages, from all nations of the world, have come to believe on Him. Now the time is running off for every man. Today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow is not yours. You do not know when your time will be over. The Bible clearly says in Hebrews 9:27, "For it is appointed unto man once to die, and then judgment." If you would believe today, you shall be in the company of all the living. If you would reject Him, if your time runs out on Him, if death would creep your body, and you suddenly depart from this world, then it's judgment. Make no mistake, eternal damnation in the fiery lake of hell. So believe on the Lord Jesus. Adam and Eve believed. Abraham believed. The great patriarchs about whom we read in the scriptures all believed on Him. The apostles believed. Many thousands, even millions have believed and continue to believe. Why would you not believe? Now, if you already believed, then I rejoice with you, but plead with you this Christmas season, as you move into this Christmas season, be a preacher of the gospel. God was the first preacher of the gospel in Garden of Eden. And we who have tasted the goodness of that great and gracious God, let us not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For it is what? The power of God unto salvation. Preach the gospel to your friends. Go back and preach the gospel to your parents, to your children, to your husbands, to your wives, to your neighbors. Declare Jesus as your Savior. For He is the Son of God. He is not like any other man. He is the perfect, perfect Son of God. And His gospel is the perfect power and solution for man to be saved from sin. May Jesus Christ be praised. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for Jesus Christ, the captain of our soul. We yield ourselves before Thee to take our stand with our Savior, Jesus Christ. There is none like Him. He is the beautiful Savior that we have. Dear Lord, captain of our salvation, may You lead us on. The battle is severe. The devil is still like a roaring lion, walketh about to destroy us. But we are not afraid of him. We are not afraid of his snares. Lord, teach us by Thy Spirit to be watchful, that we may not be deceived by him, but we may always walk in the light of the words of our Savior. For His words are good. They are truly our defense, our protection now and forever. Yes, Lord, we take great courage in our Savior as He leads us on, as He will guide us to the glory land that we look forward in with the eyes of faith. We are assured. Oh, what great blessed assurance we have. This is our story forever. Our destiny is all written by Christ. So to Him we come, and in His name we worship Thee, O great God. Please continue to guide us and continue to give us grace to believe, for the just shall live by faith. And we thank You for hearing us, and we will once again pray at the end that if there is anyone who is turning toward Thee at this moment, may You draw him to Thyself, that person may be completely assured of the salvation in Thee. With thanksgiving in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.